Good day. This is Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. This is Kindergarten Cop, and today I will be reading from the Decatur Herald and Review. I'm going to begin with an article titled ADM Invests in Decatur Future by Tony Reed. Archer Daniels Midland Company told its workers and a panel of special guests, including Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, that it was putting its money where its heart is by making a $103 million investment in its Decatur operations. The Monday announcement at the company's corporate offices will grow 50 new permanent jobs while safeguarding the future of hundreds of existing employees as the company pumps the new money into a massive overhaul and modernization of its crop processing infrastructure. Some 40,000 control systems in its giant east and west plants and other facilities will be replaced amid a broad sweep of improvements that will also generate legions of construction jobs. ADM is a global company, but we do like to say that our roots are here in Decatur, said Christopher Cuddy, a senior vice president with the firm and global president of ADM's Carbohydrate Solutions business unit. We keep investing, and we keep innovating here. Christopher Cuddy, senior vice president and global president of the Carbohydrate Solutions business unit at ADM. For nearly 90 years, we've been a part of this community. I've lived here practically my whole adult life. I've raised my family here, as have thousands of you and all of our colleagues here in Central Illinois. This is home. That's why we are proud of the role we play in the investments we've made in Central Illinois. The state is helping to bankroll some of that investment by offering ADM substantial tax credits through its EDGE program, Economic Development for a Growing Economy. Pritzker said that extending a helping hand to a key employer in Decatur and the state was a case of enlightened self-interest for the taxpayers of Illinois. ADM's growth is one of the reasons that Illinois is a leading international economic powerhouse, he added, addressing an audience of hundreds in the company cafeteria. Those watching and applauding included ADM's local leadership and employees who came to listen straight from the production line, some still wearing their hard hats and protective clothing. Pritzker told them that successful companies like ADM were fueling Illinois growth and prosperity and making the land of Lincoln an economic force of the world stage. You may or may not know that Illinois, if it were a separate country, we could be in the G20, he said, using the name of an international forum for some of the world's wealthiest countries. We would be one of the largest economies in the world, just barely number G19, he said with a smile, but still pretty good at about $1.3 trillion GDP, gross domestic product, the value of all finished goods and services for the state of Illinois, Pritzker said. This modernization by ADM strengthens our supply chains. It improves efficiency and productivity, and it helps Illinois maintain our status as a leader in the agricultural economy of the world. That is why I was very proud that the state of Illinois was able to support this project through our EDGE incentive program. Cheering on the governor as he spoke were invited guests that included Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, State Senator Doris Turner, Democrat of Springfield, and a host of other leaders from state agencies which supported the ADM investment. Nicole Bateman, President of the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County, also spoke and described how she spent much of her time trying to lure in new businesses. But she said it was extra special for a company like ADM to show continued faith in Decatur and Macon County. When a legacy giant like ADM invests in upgrading its local infrastructure, it sends a clear signal to the rest of the world. Decatur is built for the future. We are open for business and our best days are still ahead, she added. One controversial new development that could come to Macon County and others in the state is the prospect of an AI-driven data center. Asked what he thought about that by the Herald and Review, Pritzker pointed out he has directed the state's Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity to pause the processing of new tax incentive agreements for such projects. He said he wanted to make sure that data centers didn't download themselves into the state while pushing up power prices or straining local resources like water. He also said he wasn't against local communities imposing moratoriums on data center developments. I'm not opposed to local governments deciding that's what they want to do, and if local residents decide we don't want any, that's okay, the governor said. But Pritzker also noted that having a firm set of regulations in place to protect local communities would lay down guidelines that could better help people weigh up the pros and cons of hosting a data center. I think you'd probably then have fewer people saying that they don't want it, and some saying like, hey, they're paying a whole lot of property taxes to reduce our property taxes in a local area, he said. But I do think it's up to a local community to decide that. Risk of tick illness surges. Alpha-Gal Syndrome in Southern Illinoisans by Kristen Borchers and Riley Simbler from Murfreesboro. Amanda Allen Hall meticulously plans every meal. She avoids restaurants. Spending time outdoors requires careful consideration, a painful reality for the former hiking enthusiast since she developed Alpha-Gal Syndrome 8 years ago. A mere step outside leaves her at risk of an anaphylactic reaction as the threat and population of ticks increases in her own backyard. The little-known condition that changed the 45-year-old Murfreesboro resident's life traces back to a 2018 hike in Ware's Valley, Tennessee. During the hike, she felt a sharp sting on her leg. It was a lone star tick bite that would eventually lead to her diagnosis. It's a whole mess, Hall said of the condition, which can trigger severe allergic reactions to red meat. I'd never dreamed 20 years ago that I'd be dealing with something like this. As tick populations expand across the Midwest, a phenomenon scientists attribute to climate change, concerns about tick-borne illnesses are growing. That's especially true in southern Illinois, home to the Shawnee National Forest, where outdoor recreation and work are a life, way of life for many. Illinois is among the top 13 states seeing a rise in Alpha-Gal Syndrome, cases caused by a bite from the Lone Star tick, with residents living in southern Illinois at the highest risk, according to a 2025 study by the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. We don't have enough long-term data about the population of ticks, but we do know that the number of tick-borne diseases is increasing, said Rebecca Smith, a pathobiology professor at the University of Illinois, who led the Centers for Disease Control-funded study published in the September edition of the scientific journal Ticks and Tick-Borne Diseases. The CDC estimates at least 450,000 Americans may be affected, with more than 110,000 suspected cases reported from 2010 to 2022. The CDC estimated at least 90 cases across every southern Illinois county, though that's likely an undercount. A spokesman for the Illinois Department of Public Health said the agency does not have data on Alpha-Gal syndrome because they don't track the number of positive cases, unlike Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Smith said many doctors still overlook Alpha-Gal syndrome when their patients present with common allergic symptoms, and said more education and better tracking are needed to fully understand the scope of the problem. We are seeing an increased reporting of Alpha-Gal, but we're also having to inform the medical professionals that it exists and that there is a test for it, Smith said. So it might be that it's increasing because we're getting better at diagnosing it, and we're getting people more aware of it, but also we think that the ticks are moving. Illinois lawmakers have sought to improve data collection on alpha-gal syndrome. Last August, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the Tracking Infectious Cases Knowledgeably Act, or TIC Act, into law, expanding on earlier efforts around Lyme disease. It requires healthcare providers to report new alpha-gal syndrome diagnoses to local health departments, which then submit the data to the Illinois Department of Public Health. It also directs IDPH to launch a statewide public awareness campaign and publish annual data on the condition. Alpha-gal is a sugar found in most mammals, excluding humans. When the sugar enters the bloodstream through a lone star tick bite, the body's immune system can begin treating it as a threat. As a result, people with alpha-gal syndrome may experience allergic reactions after consuming red meat and other mammal-derived products, such as dairy, medication containing gelatin products, some skincare and household products. Even receiving heart valves from pigs or cows can trigger some people with the syndrome. Consuming chicken and fish is fine. Reactions tend to occur between 2 and 10 hours after a person consumes a mammalian product, which can make it difficult to determine the cause. Symptoms vary widely. Some experience mild discomfort. Hives, flushing, nausea, and diarrhea are common. On the extreme end, the reactions can be life-threatening, as with other common food allergies like peanuts. For Hall, just the smell of red meat cooking nearby can trigger an anaphylactic reaction. It has altered her life. For many years, Hall drove semi-trucks with her husband, John. Now, she tends to mostly stay close to home, fearing how her body will react on the road if she inadvertently triggers an allergic reaction. One mother's fight for awareness. Efforts to improve education and tracking around tick-borne diseases stem from one mother's long and frustrating fight to get answers for her sick daughter. In 2012, Jennifer Russell of Aledo heard the school bus drop off her daughter, Lauren, but she never came inside. When Russell walked outside, she found her lying in the driveway. Lauren told her that her legs just stopped working. For the next 3 years, the family searched for answers. Lauren slept 12 to 16 hours a day, frequently became ill, and lost much of her short-term memory. Doctors initially suspected leukemia. "It was a very difficult time," Russell said. After 3 years, Lauren developed 3 bullseye rashes in her armpits. "We were told that Lyme disease wasn't in Illinois," she said. "And then our dog got Lyme disease. So that was how we finally got doctors to take it seriously." Russell said it took 4 years for her daughter to regain her health. The experience led her to found the Illinois Lyme Association, which advocates for people living with tick-borne illnesses. Her advocacy work landed her in the office of State Representative Dan Swanson, Republican Alpha. "There's nothing like the passion of a mother with a sick child," Swanson said. "We've passed several pieces of legislation together as quite a team." On January 1, 2019, the Lauren Russell Lyme Disease Prevention and Protection Act went into effect. It also created the statewide Lyme Disease Task Force. Through the task force, the pair has developed educational materials that it has provided to IDPH and hosted conferences to educate medical professionals on tick-borne illnesses and prevention. Then, last year, Swanson, whose mother also has alpha-gal syndrome, expanded on those efforts. This newest law targeting alpha-gal syndrome. The Saluki Local Reporting Lab reached out to IDPH, which said it was in the process of developing educational materials for its website. It recently posted flyers online describing alpha-gal syndrome, how to avoid it, and how to manage symptoms. Additionally, IDPH has posted trailhead signage at popular hiking spots in southern Illinois, warning hikers of tick exposure in collaboration with the Illinois Lyme Association. Little known condition, even among doctors. While scientists say alpha-gal syndrome is on the rise, many doctors still aren't aware of it. Hall spent years searching for answers. She said that when she first questioned her doctor in Tennessee about it, he told her he'd never even heard of the condition. After moving from Tennessee to Murfreesboro, she continued experiencing severe allergic reactions. Doctors struggled to identify the cause. At first, she cut out gluten, thinking she was intolerant. She continued to have reactions until she heard fellow hikers warn of threats to alpha-gal. After cutting out meat, she had less reactions and asked her doctors in Carbondale for a test to confirm her suspicion. She wasn't diagnosed until 2025, 7 years after she suspected she was bitten by the culprit Lone Star tick. Hall said receiving her diagnosis gave her the comfort that there was a medical explanation for the many years of ongoing symptoms she'd been experiencing. I was now less of a now I know what to do moment and more of a this explains what has been happening moment, she said. Crystal Pierce, who splits her time living between St. Louis and Carbondale at her home near the Shawnee National Forest, ran into a similar problem. Years ago, Pierce, a chiropractor, had researched alpha-gal and told her doctor that she believed that is what was causing her symptoms. Shortly after eating beef, her body would swell. The next day, she'd experience a painful coughing fit after drinking her morning coffee. I would cough until I started to wheeze, she said, and then I would wheeze until I was gasping for air, and it would take me about an hour to recover from it. I was not okay. I was exhausted. I didn't understand what was going on. She raised the possibility of alpha-gal syndrome with her doctor. He was like, "You don't have alpha-gal," she recalled. And I said, "No, I think I have alpha-gal. Here's why." And he goes, "I've never seen alpha-gal. You don't have it." Smith, the U of I professor, said it remains under-recognized among many medical professionals in Illinois. In a recent survey by Smith, only 25% of medical professionals had heard of the condition, and just 12% knew there was a test available to diagnose it. Crystal was formally diagnosed in 2023 through an immunoglobulin E antibodies blood test. The IgE blood test is the only manner in which alpha-gal is diagnosed. Pears and her wife, April, bought their southern Illinois home here during the pandemic when they were seeing fewer clients at the family chiropractic clinic they run together in St. Louis. They've always loved the outdoors, and they spend their weekends in the woods camping and hiking, though they've now had to take extra precautions because of alpha-gal syndrome. Her wife, April, a social worker, received her alpha-gal syndrome diagnosis last year, after she began experiencing similar symptoms to Crystal's. "I was in St. Louis, and there's this really great calzone place, and I ordered a calzone that was basically like a Cubano. So it had pork, it had ham, it had three types of cheese. It was basically an alpha-gal bomb," she said. "It was delicious, and I ate half of it, and then I proceeded to have what I thought was a panic attack. Like, my hands were shaking, I was sweating. It was bizarre. I have a history of panic attacks, but I hadn't had one in years, and I thought I was having a panic attack because it felt very, very similar." Dr. Jason Nuffman, an allergist and immunologist with Quincy Medical Group in Downers Grove, said alpha-gal syndrome is one of the newest food allergies on the scene, first recognized only 15 years ago. "It's taking the medical community by surprise," he said. Nuffman said he sees patients with the condition from Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois. "I'm definitely talking about it several times a day," he said. "I think this is truly a condition where patients can educate their doctors." Navigating alpha-gal, a loss for some. Patients are often relieved to receive an accurate diagnosis, Nuffman said, though there's not much he can do for them beyond advising them to alter their diets. That can be a hard reality for some. That's what nobody tells you about it, Hall said. It will change the way you eat unless you eat like a rabbit anyway. Although there is no cure for alpha-gal, some people have cited lessened symptoms with Solomon Auricular Allergy Treatment, or SAAT, a form of acupuncture where a small needle is placed in the ear for 3 weeks. Crystal underwent SAAT and said she has seen improvements in her symptoms, including that she can once again consume dairy. It's really nice to be able to eat a cheese pizza again, she said. A 2021 study published by the American Academy of Medical Acupuncture claimed that 96% of 137 patients were in remission after receiving SAAT, though the study relied on self-reporting by patients and other significant limitations. An article posted by NewsGuard last week included SAAT among purported alpha-gal treatment hoaxes, citing an immunology expert who said there is, quote, no plausible mechanism for the treatment to work and warned that eating meat after trying it could be life-threatening for people with alpha-gal syndrome. Dining out can especially be a concern, though eateries are catching on, maybe quicker than doctors. A late May post in the popular Facebook group Southern Illinois Eats asked for restaurants that could accommodate people with the allergy. More than 150 comments followed. Numerous restaurant owners chimed in about alpha-gal friendly meals they offered, as well about their conscientious cooking methods to prevent cross-contamination with red meat. Several said they were increasingly hearing such requests. Friends tagged one another. The University of Illinois study reported 10 southern Illinois counties with particularly high clusters of Lone Star ticks: Union, Johnson, Hardin, Jackson, Williamson, Saline, Franklin, Hamilton, Jefferson, and Perry. But anyone can get the condition, even if they don't live in a wooded area, Smith said. The active season for tick diseases is also expanding. Southern Illinois University zoology professor Augustin Jimenez said Lone Star ticks are a growing problem in the area. In 2020, he advised a master's student on a tick survey of 11 southern Illinois counties for her thesis project. Through her research, the student, Victoria Phillips, found the Lone Star tick to be the most abundant, consisting of 80% of the ticks she collected. Further, she found the Shawnee National Forest to be a perfect habitat for Lone Star ticks, as they require predators such as raccoons or skunks to complete their life cycle. As well, the large number of hikers and campers create a perfect feeding ground for ticks, she found. The length of time that people are at risk of tick-borne illnesses is also expanding. People think spring, summer, fall. They don't think winter, said Smith, the U of I researcher. And we definitely know that people are getting tick-borne diseases in the winter in Illinois. That's a climate change thing. It's not just food that can set off a reaction. Many prescription and over-the-counter drugs contain gelatin, a mammal-derived ingredient that can trigger reactions in some people. And Crystal and April Pierre's discovered an allergic reaction to, of all things, toilet paper, some of which contains gelatin derived from mammals. They now buy specialty toilet paper made from bamboo. If you have a product that may contain trace amounts of mammal, there's enough of the population that could die from that they should be able to see that on a label, but you can't. You have to go down rabbit holes and Facebook posts of people reacting, going, I didn't know that, and we learned a lot, April said. Two-thirds of respondents afflicted with alpha-gal reported anxiety or depressive disorders in a 2025 University of Missouri survey. Nearly half said the condition affected daily life, and 63% reported avoiding restaurants or social events because of concerns about food contamination. Everything we do surrounds food. People, they care about you. They want to cook for you, Crystal said. But I really think it's more like a depression, like a loss. What you love to eat, you can't eat anymore. The restaurants that you go to, the people that you would see and visit, that, for me, is gone. An article from Sports, Where He's Meant to Be. Walker pleased to coaching his alma mater by Will Foley. Decatur. It's been a long time coming for Rodney Walker to get this moment and this opportunity, but this path was never planned. He just happened to follow it. The 1991 Herald and Review Macon County Player of the Year and St. Teresa graduate was named the school's next boys basketball coach and PE and weightlifting teacher last week. Walker returns to coaching after a one-year hiatus following his 11-year tenure with Eisenhower. Walker said he never planned on leading the Panthers that long. What started as stepping up to fill a vacancy stretched farther than he'd imagined, highlighted by a regional title in 2017. At St. Teresa, though, he's right where he belongs. Just excited to be back in Bulldog Country, Walker said. When Mike Noonan joined Milliken's men's basketball staff, creating the St. T opening, Walker took his time mulling whether to even go for it. Being a prosperous business owner and pharmaceutical distributor often meant a juggling act for Walker, balancing time and effort. But now he has the time, availability, and energy to dedicate himself to the school in his roles. The biggest difference, however, is that he's already done 50% of the work. When I walk into the gym at St. Teresa, it's not like I'm walking into a place with a bunch of strangers. These are kids that are familiar with me. That's half the battle, is getting these kids to trust you, Walker said. That was the biggest thing that made me say, okay, I'm not starting from scratch, so it's a great opportunity to go over here and build and get those Bulldogs back to where they used to be. In a Facebook post Thursday morning, Walker shared what he remembered the first day he walked into the school as a sophomore. Meeting then-principal Lowell Brossimer with his mom, Walker was drilled with 1,000 questions before Brossimer welcomed him to St. Teresa. He said his mother then set things straight about grades. Walker says his mother saved his life that day. All these years later, Walker said the lessons and preparation he learned at the school shaped him into who he is now. St. Teresa prepared me for the press, prepared me for different cultures, different walks of life, just prepared me on how to adjust at the drop of a dime, he said. You come to St. Teresa, you're now part of this family that never leaves you if you come in and do the right thing. Coming off a 9-15 season, the Bulldogs have seen better days, though their play on the hardwood has almost always been shadowed by the football program's success. In 2015, Christian Williams and coach Tom Noonan led St. T to a Class 2A second place finish. Walker's Bulldogs went 23-4 behind his 31 points and 12 rebounds per game, though they couldn't claim a regional title. Now at the helm, Walker wants to enrich the school's pride and tradition. Be it on the basketball floor or in the classroom, he wants to elevate his alma mater. I want to get to the point where kids are lined up to want to come to St. Teresa again. Feel that pride and understand that culture, Walker said. It's not going to happen overnight, but that's the goal, to get kids and families excited about not only basketball, but education and everything at St. Teresa, everything St. Teresa has to offer. To reach that level, Walker has just one ask of his prospective players. As long as you come in and work hard, give me everything you've got, I'll make you a better basketball player, he said. Off the court, you're going to be a better person when you leave here.